This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Both musically and personally, Tift Merritt seems to be constantly on the move. And it's not just the life of a touring musician. It's that her music refuses to sit still in the nice little alt-country box that people wanted to put her in when she began making albums in 2002. And over the years, we've had visits from Tift that have seen her traveling from across the country and from across the street, literally. For the moment, she's based in her original hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina, and she is back in our studio today to play some songs from her 2017 album called Stitch of the World. This first one's called Dusty Old Man. Here's Tift Merritt with Eric Haywood live on Soundcheck.
And he loved my hips. Peace of my mind make no difference. He won't back down and he won't make plans. As mean as a snake, he's my dusty old man. As mean as a snake, he's my dusty old man. He say, love me my wrongs, love me until the scars are gone. Dusty man, dusty old man, here come my dusty old man. Young man think he know everything. For even know what he's seen, more real living than a young boy could stand. Oh, down in the heart of a dusty old man. Yeah, deep in the eyes of my dusty old man. He said, come in now to write my wrong. Dusty old man.
That is Tift Merritt with Eric Haywood live here in the Soundcheck studio and a version of the song Dusty Old Man, which is the lead-off track on her brand new record called Stitch of the World, out on January 27th. And Tift, it's great to see you again.
It's really nice to be back here.
It's funny that I think people could tell even from this unplugged, stripped-down version of the song that that's one of the rockers on the album.
It's always nice to write a rocker.
Yeah, there's a couple of them on this record.
Yeah.
But then there's also a kind of heartachy ballads and stuff. So it covers a lot of ground.
Well, you know, I think that's really important when you make records. I mean, I think it needs to be a substantial journey. And maybe that's old-fashioned, but I always think of it like, you know, when you read a group of short stories or you really lend yourself to listening to a full piece of vinyl, you don't want it to be one color. You want it to be a really something that you feel like you've been through with somebody else when you come through it.
Yeah. Now, you made this record in L.A., is that right?
I did, yeah.
While pregnant.
While 6 months pregnant, yes.
That's...
I know, I'm insane. What is wrong with me? Well, you know,
I was going to find a maybe more genteel way of phrasing the question, but now that you've asked
it, it's funny. Somebody was saying that to me recently that I have a way of taking a situation that is already difficult and making it like, well, why don't we add balancing a pyramid on the top of your head on that? But you know, honest and truly, I think it's part of the working musician hustle, and I had a great deal of anxiety about how my career would continue as a working mother, being on the road, trying to, you know, being a musician is like, it's kind of an expensive hobby to go on tour. I mean, it's just hard. And the decisions that I used to make that were sort of do or die music, I can't do that anymore. I have to make all my decisions based on my daughter. And so I think there was some kind of peace that I found from, I'm gonna do this. Mm. I'm gonna get this done while I can. And I will also say that I think she loved being a part of, you know, sharing music physically with someone like that is a really amazing thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, by now I think everybody knows that, you know, a baby even in utero is hearing, you know, music. And
yes. I don't feel like I had very much to do with it at all. You know, your body has this intelligence that allows this to happen, and she's exactly who she is. She got here that way, and I had nothing to do with it. But I do think she really enjoys music so much, and I enjoyed singing to her at that stage.
But you're no longer in L.A., and you're no longer here in New York, and you're no longer in West Texas.
Well, I skip around a little bit.
Yeah. But back to your original hometown of Raleigh, North
absolutely.
Carolina. Having a kid probably had something to do with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think if I had my dream world, I would still be here in New York City. But New York is a hard place to be an artist. And I think that I just needed to make some really common sense decisions about family and time and making life good for my daughter. And I actually... has just been really wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, not too long ago on the show, we were talking with MC Taylor.
Yes.
His Golden Messenger
My
were here
dear
playing.
Friend.
Yeah. And we were talking about the fact that in North Carolina, there is this amazing kind of community of musicians of various stripes who all seem to get along and play with each other, even though, you know, this one's doing folk and this one's doing country and that one's doing rock. And
yeah. And I have to say that. I am so grateful to him because when I moved home, you know, it felt like a really sad thing. You know, I felt kind of like running back home is not really my style.
Right, right.
But he totally took me under his wing and just said, you're going to be able to do this. We're all parents. They took me on tour this fall. You know, I'm...
As a member of the band?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, I'm backstage... trying to feed my daughter before the show. And Mike, I remember one time I thought, this is so insane. And he's like, this is like 1972, man. This is great. So I'm really thankful for community like that.
Yeah. And you've also done some touring with Andrew Bird, yes, with one of his groups. And does that affect the songwriting? You're exposing yourself to the way other people, mm-hmm, make music.
Absolutely. Especially with Andrew, you know, he's such a virtuoso.
Finish that sentence, because you could say virtuoso whistler, virtuoso violinist, virtuoso singer.
He's a virtuoso musician. He's a virtuoso of a human being. And I continually think about music as sort of a tool for writing. You know, music is this big, mysterious language to me that I don't understand like a virtuoso. I speak it, as a second or third language very humbly and gratefully. And to keep up with somebody like Andrew, it was just really a joy and a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing for my chops. And all of these people were talking about, and Eric, too, over here on the guitar and the pedal steel, and Simona, our mutual friend.
Simona Dinnerstein, the classical pianist.
It's like being a writer where you think about every word,
right,
but you take that to you think about every tone and you think about every sound and every sonic layer. And it's an overwhelming palette. You know, it's really a lot to think about. But I hope that I've learned some from osmosis from being in these bands and being able to make noise with these people who absolutely know what they're doing.
We are speaking with Tift Merritt, the new album called Stitch of the World. She's performing across the street at City Winery. One of your past visits, you were across the street at City Winery working on some songs. And
the City Winery
came across the street to play for us.
they used to let me sneak in the mornings and practice before they were open. And I will always, I'm eternally grateful to them. There's something really nice about practice in a day-to-day kind of situation where the waitresses are setting up the tables and you aren't alone in your routine.
Right,
it was
really a
wonderful part of New York for me.
So Tift will be playing at City Winery on March 31st. Mark your calendar. She's playing for us here with Eric Haywood in our soundcheck studio today. And to go back to something you said before about taking a situation, making it harder, there's just the two of you. You're largely unplugged, but no two songs have the same instrumental setup. So we go from two guitars now to the guitar and Eric switching to the pedal steel.
And now we're the duo with the most gear.
How much stuff can two people travel with? And a kid?
It's an endless question.
Yeah. You want to do Love Soldiers On?
I'd be delighted to.
Okay. Tift Merritt on guitar, Eric Haywood playing the pedal steel live on Soundcheck.
Bruised up and skinny as a string, no one I know so underpaid. Been around the block about 100 times today. Won't leave you alone, no matter what you say. Love soldiers on. Love soldiers on. There's nothing you can do. Love will soldier on. Lock it out and don't return its call. Swear you don't know its face at all. Throw it in the river, lose it in the storm. It will show up in its bandages tomorrow at your door. Love soldiers on. Love soldiers on. There's nothing you can do. Soldier on. Been beat up even more. swear you've run it off. But it don't ask for nothing. It's got courage like the wind out there in the streetlights waiting to come in. Love soldiers on.
Once again, Tift Merritt on guitar and vocals, Eric Haywood playing the pedal steel here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is Love Soldiers On. It's from Tift's new record called Stitch of the World, out on January 27th, and she's back with us here in the Soundcheck studio. And Tift, we were talking before about the various places you have been over the years. You were, for a while, hosting a radio show.
Yeah.
In Marfa, Texas.
Yeah, I was.
Is that...
Well, you know, I actually, in the couple of years when I was playing with Andrew Bird and doing my record with Simona and touring my own record, I did all of the production work on it. I did all the editing and, you know, it was sort of a self-contained mm-hmm. project. And I really just couldn't, I couldn't keep up. But the premise of the whole thing was that I was traveling a lot as a musician, and often traveling is very self-contained.
Right.
And so I wanted a reason to keep myself reading and listening and looking and then go meet the people first person and talk about process, which is, I think, kind of everything to me. And I'm actually talking with another NPR station, WUNC, obviously in North Carolina, mm-hmm. about trying to start it up again, and to have some production help so that I can, you know, my life can breathe a little bit. But I always loved doing that because I met such fascinating people, and it just seemed important to my own creative life.
Yeah. So who did you have on your show?
I had Kiki Smith on. I had Emmylou Harris and Mark Rebo. I had a wonderful sculptor, Patrick Daugherty, who makes amazing houses out of branches and huge, like, swirls of branches. And, you know, I always sought to have people on who weren't musicians. I had many musicians because
right.
I bump into them a lot. I had a wonderful painter named Anna Schulite that I adore. You know, I just, I always wanted to have Cy Twombly on, but he passed away.
Yeah.
You know, but it just, what a gift to talk to somebody about their own point of view on their work.
Yeah.
Away from the rah-rah of, here's my new project, and it's perfectly formed, and, you know, under the auspices of genius. I'm more interested in sort of the dust and dirt of every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to parenthood, where the
exactly.
dust and dirt...
Exactly! I've never done so much laundry in my life, but I love every minute of
yeah.
it.
You mentioned Simona Dinnerstein. What was it like hearing your songs next to the songs of Franz Schubert?
It was very intimidating.
I think so.
You know, there's no other word than that. And
was it inspiring as well?
It was. I mean, I think Simona is inspiring. I felt a huge amount of trepidation about that project, and I really thought that anyone from her world was really going to laugh at me. You know, because there's a set of rules and an understanding of classical music that she has and that the classical world has that I most definitely do not have.
Yeah.
So I could only sort of humbly bring what I bring. And I really, truly had to trust Simona And I think if she were here, she would say, on the other hand, that, you know, the times where I was like, Simone, you're playing too many notes, or we sound really square, or we sound, you know, we need to get freer. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would really have to blindly trust me. And it's really hard to be that open and free. And I will always be proud that she and I did that together. And I think that our friendship is kind of profound because we did that together.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of opening up to each other, mm-hmm. is, you know, that mm-hmm. that's either going to end it or make it really stronger.
No, I know. I mean, I think, like, I learned as much about partnership and collaboration from her as I have from anybody around.
It was a really interesting collaboration on a number of levels, and one of them was just what you were talking about, that, you know, there is this kind of image of the classical music world as very kind of closed off, mm-hmm. and very snooty about other forms of music, when, in fact, that's one of the problems, is that it's not really like that. The people within the classical music world are like people anywhere else, and
right.
if you bring them good music, they're perfectly happy to listen to it.
I was so relieved. I can't tell you. I was so scared.
Yeah.
I practiced so hard. And I also never, I didn't want to let Simone down. And, it, you know, I think when you're playing like in a band situation where you all know each other and you're speaking the same language, and you go, I don't like the way you played that, and the other person's like, mm-hmm. we were speaking such different languages that there was room for this super honest dialogue where every piece of that canvas was cared for and loved and talked about. So
yeah, it was a really nice project. Now, are you and Sam Beam of Iron and Wine, are you guys friends as well?
He's the best.
He's on
sweet.
Like the final three tracks.
He helped me a lot with this record. And I had done so much writing, and he really helped me get perspective on what I was doing. He also brought some really special counter melodies. You know, that opened a whole new door for me, actually. You know, it's like somebody turned the lights on. I'm really excited to write again, having what he taught me in mind. He has such a beautiful voice, and I think it's really a reflection of a really beautiful person. And
right,
he and his family live in North Carolina and are very dear to me.
Mm-hmm. We started with a little bit of Eastern Light off of the record, mm-hmm. which is the voice in the background,
yes.
in tandem with yours is Sam Beam of Iron and Wine. But it's Tift Merritt and Eric Haywood who are here with us in the Soundcheck studio. And for this next piece, you're going to move over to the Steinway.
I am. And I think this is the first time we've played this song live. Is it the first time we played it live? Okay, well, we're not going to mess up. I'm not going to. Eric won't mess up.
Eric Haywood is still behind the pedal steel, but Tift Merritt is now making her way to our piano here in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Heartache is an Uphill Climb. It's Tift Merritt and Eric Haywood live on Soundcheck.
How does the scar forgive, the knife and the pride forget the fight, the one that laid it down so low, the one still throwing tall shadows? Come on, tell me. I heard that it was step by step. Oh, it takes time, time, time. The going it is slow, slow, slow. Heartache is an uphill climb. A broken heart holds only fear. What I told my through. Tears, whatever it is that you feel, you best be bigger than this hill, and you must believe me. And so I went step by step. Up here.
Tift Merritt at the piano with Heartache is an Uphill Climb. Eric Haywood once again playing the pedal steel. Tift, I think probably your first visit here, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Oh, no.
You've been coming here a long time.
Yes, I have.
I seem to recall that it's a foggy memory. You either had just had or were about to have an exhibition of photography that you had done.
Oh, my gosh. I'm such a crazy person.
Are you still doing that?
You know what? I think that was...
First of all, I know you're a new parent, so there's photography happening all the time,
of
everywhere.
One single person. You know, I will say that I think photography is an amazing writing tool for me, where you turn your brain off and you just look. And I feel really strongly about, as somebody who does have the floor or does have a microphone a lot, that it's super important for me to cut that off and to look back at the world. Mm. And that said, now that I have a camera on my phone and I have all of this gear and a child and no time to myself, is really difficult. But I do miss it. And I was just thinking the other day that I'd like to buy some film. I'm not really a photographer. I am. I just like looking at the world.
Yeah. That artistic impulse, it does come out in lots of different ways.
It does. And I think it's important to... I'm not sure that it comes to anything for the public.
Yeah, right.
Most times.
Right.
You know, you have to have that finishing energy to really lift something up. But I like to listen to that collateral energy, and I think it's really important to always push yourself forward creatively and not use the same three muscles. And those are, you know, I don't really know how to do that except to kind of be aware mm-hmm. and follow those impulses. And so I think that's what those things are.
Yeah. Well, you guys have not too long ago embarked on yet another creative project that will occupy you for...
Years to come.
Years to come,
yes.
Tift Merritt and Eric Haywood have been here with us in the Soundcheck studio. The album's called Stitch of the World. It's out January 27th, and Tift will be playing across the street at City Winery on March 31st. Always great to see you. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you, John.
This is Soundcheck.
So why don't you come meet me here?
That does it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but there's much more on our website, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and of course, our Soundcheck podcasts. That's at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.